just want to pause for a second and recognize what just happened. We take it for granted because it happens flawlessly or really, really good every Sunday. Tim, I see you out there. Just stand up, door. Anybody else from the worship team that I'm not seeing? I've got. This team puts in countless hours. No, Tim, stay standing. And also look up Doug's up there, making sure that like sound and lights come in. Sam is back there. These guys give countless hours, and if you can just give them a clap of thanks. Seriously. No, I want you to stay standing the whole sermon. No. And especially, I point that out because I've been able to come to their rehearsals for the last couple weeks because this man has faithfully served as the lead worship leader for the last several years. And because of changes at work and stuff, he's resigned that position effective a couple weeks ago. And I just want to say a public thank you to Riley. And now some of you are confused because you're going, hold on, I thought he stepped down from the position and he's up front singing. And he was here in the morning at 7 o'clock?
I was late, 7:10.
Oh, 7:10. Why, you were all still sleeping with
yeah,
Sam.
Sure was.
Wow, I got an amen. he was here with Sam Glossley resetting the stage from dance last night because that's, even though the official position is done, he's hanging around, he's singing, he's leading, and that's just the kind of people we have. So I just wanted to say thank you publicly. And if you guys want to hang out up here, you can. If you don't, you can sit down. That's whatever. And I also just wanted to say a special thanks. During this interim, we're trying to make sure that we get the job description right because this band is so talented and so good. We don't want to throw that off, but Sam Glossley is stepping in and helping out in the interim, and I just thank you, Sam. You're amazing. Give it up for Sam. He was also here all day yesterday, and I've talked to several of you that saw it. The dance studio had their 20th anniversary show, and if you missed it, you missed something incredible. Steve Moore and I were talking. He is just a ballet aficionado. You know when Steve Moore goes, wow, that was something. It was something. And that all takes so much work, doesn't it? Anybody else work hard? Like you have something, you want to accomplish the task, you work hard, you toil, you push it. And then you got a verse like this, Romans 6:11, and I put the Greek up there because I want you to see the case that's being made. Here's what it sounds like in English. Just go ahead and pop your Bibles to it. It's Romans 6:11 or 11:6. Let's see. Yeah, Romans 6:11. 11:6. Dyslexia is fun. Seriously, not making fun if anybody's going to send an email. No, like legit, I'm dyslexic. It is fun. That's another sermon for another day. So this is what it says. But if it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Now this is what it looks like in Greek. Because I want you to see the argument he's laying out. He literally says, if it's and grace. This is an if-then statement. This is a logical statement. If it's this, if it's and grace, then no more works. Otherwise, the grace would no longer be grace. I highlighted the green and the red so you can see those words, even if you don't speak Greek, because the next line that he actually says in the Greek, go ahead and flip to the next slide, is it's this making this parallel statement. If it's and grace, then it's no longer works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. And if it's of works, then it's no more of grace. You get how it is? It's pick one. There are some things that it's works, and there are some things that it's grace. And don't confuse the two. Here's the deal. Or go ahead and click, because I think I have one more slide up there. Oh, yeah. And then he finishes this argument. Otherwise, the works are no longer works. So either it's grace or it's works. And if it's works, then it's works, but it's not grace. And if it's grace, then it's grace and it's not works. Everybody tracking. The point here is these are two totally different things. Don't confuse them. Grace is a gift. You do nothing, nothing, nothing to earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't have to work for it. Actually, if you're working for it, then just own that it's not grace. This is Christianity. If you got to work for it, it's not Christianity. It's not the way of Jesus. And people get this confused all the time, but this is Scott and I talked about this. This is the most important point. Now let me tell you why we get confused on this all the time. Go ahead and click to the next slide. Oh yeah, I get this all the time. But Pastor, don't we have to do something? I get it. We live in a world where we have to close the deal. We have to do something. This is otherworldly. We don't know what to do with it. The answer to that, write it really big if you're a note taker, no. If you have to do something, then it's works. And if it's then it's not grace. Yeah, don't we have to do something? Go ahead and click to the next slide. Here's where this gets super confusing. Go all the way back to Genesis, which just confession time. I know Pastor did confession earlier. I'm starting to think Genesis might be better than Exodus. The Lord has changed my heart. Okay, in Genesis, we're back in Genesis 2:17. 3:17. Adam and Eve have already sinned, and God looks at them, and God first curses the snake, then he tells woman that there's going to be pain in your childbirth. Any ladies out there ever had a baby? Can I get an amen? Amen. Like, that's just the way it is. Give me an epidural. There's still pain. Like we can minimize it, but it's still there. When we work, when we toil, work goes from work to toil. And work is going to be hard. And everything you do, you got to earn. Why? Because you listened to Eve and ate the fruit, and I commanded you, do not eat it. And now the ground is cursed. Because of you, and in your pain, you shall eat every day of your life. The thorns and the thistles, it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Because of sin, the garden doesn't work the way it's supposed to. The farm doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It shouldn't be this hard. But we live in a world that it's all about works. This is, by the way, why we love sport movies. Even non-sports people love sports movies. Why? Because it's the metaphor that you got to fight for every stinking inch. And then maybe you'll get the yard. And maybe you'll score the touchdown. And maybe you'll lose. But the only way to get anything is to fight for every inch. And that's what work is. And that's why this concept of grace is so difficult, because it's not the world we live in. And that's the point. It's not the world we live in. Where are we at next? Oh, Yeah, the curse is even worse than that. And by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Which is, by the way, we call money bread because it references to this. You don't get money without the work. And until you return to the ground that you were taken out of, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. After all this work and all this toil, once you finally made it, you're going to die. And you're going to turn back to dust, and the worms are going to eat your body. If the band could come back up, please. But don't we have to do something? That's why we say that. That's why we say that. Because our whole world, we have to toil to eat. And so how would we get grace? And let me just go a little bit. In the English language doesn't help any. Here's the deal. People say, well, don't you have to accept Jesus? No. No. And that's the problem is that's linguistic. Accept is an active word. The proper term is receive, which is a passive word. Right? Active means I actually have to do something to receive it. Receive means it's already in my hands, period. The problem is that's not how it works in America either. Right? The wide receiver has to work to receive. But receive, the word actually means before it evolved in its linguistic is to do nothing. It's in your lap. It's there. It's already been granted. See, that's the message of the gospel is that on the cross, God died for everyone. Everyone, period. The debt is paid in full. Our sins have been washed away. It's a gift that's been given freely. That's the message of Christ. That's the message of Christianity. You don't want it? Sure, we can still do something active. We can reject it. We're allowed to do that. God loves us so much, he goes, I'm not going to force this gift on you. I'm going to put it in your lap, but if you want to throw it away, cool, you're allowed to. Like, I love you so much, I'm not going to stop you. But I want to, do we have to do anything for it? The answer is no. And if you don't believe that, and if you want to write me an angry email, let's talk. Let's talk, because there's something going on inside of you. And every time I've had this talk, what's going on inside of you is you're going to look at me and you're going to tell me first off I'm wrong, and then I'll listen to you and hear why you think I'm wrong. But we always end up, because I've had this conversation way too many times, that people go, Henry, what you're saying is just too good to be true. Yeah, it is. But it's also true. It's too good to be true. But it's true. We're not antinomian. That was for the theologian, you know, it's theologians out there. People, these are the next three things I'm going to say are the three things that people walk into my office and say when they hear this. But the law, not the gospel. They go, but, you know, we're talking a law statement here when we make it. But we need to deter the kids. We don't want our kids, if it's a free gift, if salvation is a free gift and we've done nothing to earn it, then how do we motivate our kids not to say bad words? We don't want the kids smoking cigarettes behind the dumpster at church. Well, first off, they will. Why? Because we've all sinned and fallen short. Why are we so paranoid about that? Because you did it. Because you did it, and you know the pain that it caused, and you know the suffering that it caused, and you don't want your kids to repeat the same pain and suffering. Which, that's good, but be honest with them. Stop smoking cigarettes behind the dumpster, because it's going to be really hard to quit, and I've had to try to quit my whole life. And I don't like it. And that's where I go when I say I'm just going on a walk at night, and you haven't known for 32 years. Does that mean that you're not, you know, we got some shame stuff here, and we blame it on the kids, but we don't want the kids, and I don't want the kids smoking cigarettes and saying bad words and calling me names. I don't care if they call you names, but, no, right, we don't want those things. Yes, we want morality, but let's own that. That's the law, not the gospel. That's not grace. That's not what we're talking about here. Yes, we agree on that, but that's a red herring argument. Click. Law as the motivator, I call this got to, doesn't work. It never has and it never will. Never is not the right word there. It never has unless it's observable. You got to drive under 65 miles an hour. As long as the cop's behind you. I've seen you. I couldn't quite tell it was you because I couldn't ride the real license plate because you were going. No, right. The law only works in as much power I have to enforce the law. The law only works as much as you're scared. The law only works as much as, I mean, how many of you at work, you do the thing that you got to do as long as your boss is watching? I talked to somebody that they love working from home now because they realized that their job in the cubicle, that their company wanted to make sure that people were working and not taking breaks and not doing, and so they have a software that tracks how often their mouse moves. And if their mouse doesn't keep moving, they're not working and they get in trouble. And now that they're working from home, they figured out a program to make their mouse move. And we all do it. Why? Because got to doesn't work. At least not for long. That's the law is motivator. Doesn't work for long. See, the thing is this. We go from the gospel doesn't mean got to. The gospel means get to. Man, add one little line to that O. Change your got to get to. And everything changes. I am already loved. I am already forgiven. Heaven is already mine. Now I got to go do evangelism. I think that might be why everybody hates it. I think that might be why everybody's petrified. Because I got to and I don't know if I'm going to do it right. Well, because I got to, and if I don't make sure I convert at least 14 souls, I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to be mad at me. Man, the game changes when all of a sudden it's, I'm already loved and I get to do this. I get to share this love that's been given to me with the whole world. I get to share all of these gifts because God's already given them to me. I get to. If you want to change your world, and this one, man, even throw it out there. I know that some people are listening or going, I don't know if I buy into the whole Christian thing. Just try this. When you get up in the morning, stop saying got to and start saying get to. Man, what do you got to do today? By the end of that got to list, you a little bit bummed? I got to mow the lawn. I got to feed the kids. I got to take a shower. Man, change it to, I get to. Man, I get to mow the lawn. Oh, I've been given a lawn. And I get to care for it, and I get to see it grow. And I get to see if I can play with it and make it work. See, I get to because I'm working from this place of grace where there's nothing I can earn that matters. I've already got God's love. I've already got God's mercy. God's already went to the cross and died for me for all those places where I tried to make it about my works and I failed miserably. It's a game changer. Did I put any other slides up there? I don't think I did, but what was this one? Click to the next slide. I'm trying to remember. Oh, sorry. Back to. Now I remember what the slide was. Whew. Oh, yeah, this is the other thing people always go, but pastor, what about the African or the Asian or the Indian kid that's never heard the gospel? They've never had a chance to receive it. They've never, You know, that's usually I get that question. And I want to tell you one of two things. Either one, this is a red herring meant to distract you. Click. That's what a red herring is. We're talking about the gospel, and people instantly go, well, what about these people who are going to hell because they've never heard the gospel? What I found is 9 times out of 10, that's a red herring. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Did Jesus die for them? Yes. But in that 1 in 10 chance where you're going to come to me and go, well, Pastor, that's not a red herring. Somebody needs to go reach them. Somebody needs to bring them the gospel. Somebody needs to share with them. Do it. Do it. See, what you did is you made it a got to. Somebody's got to. No, you get to. God has put that on your heart. God has put that on your heart, that you care for this little kid over in this other country. Then figure out a way to love him. Figure out a way to serve him. Go do it. Let's make it so that attendance in like 2 months, nobody's here. Not because everybody's on Zoom, but because everybody's off in the middle of the world sharing the gospel. You're busy over there. Come back the following week. Otherwise, I'll get lonely. But right, you get to see this get, not got, to mission. What's the mission that you get to do? Not that you got to do. Not that that's going to earn anything. And as you do the mission, yeah, that's work. Don't let anybody mislead you. Not to earn your salvation, but because there's going to be toil. It's going to be hard to get the passport. It's going to be expensive to book the flight. You're going to have people tell you you're nuts because you're going to that place with those people. Where I mean, Pastor Scott shared it a couple weeks ago. There's people being killed for doing this. But I guarantee those people that are being killed for it, not a single one of them is going, I got to. They're going, I get to. Because I've already received that grace and that mercy, and I don't have to earn it. It's already mine. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. God, we get confused and we make it that our brain gets confused, and it has for a couple thousand years, that we think that it's about works when it's really about grace. God, change our hearts. Change our wills, change our understanding, change our mind. Let us see that, yes, there is a ton of work to be done, but that we get to. But salvation, man, it only comes from you. And you've already done all the work. You loved us when we were unlovable. You forgave us when we were unforgivable. And you invite us into this adventure where we get to serve you. God, thank you for so many people in this place that you've changed their heart from got to get. That when they toil, they don't mind it because they're toiling for the work that you've given them to do. Not to earn your favor or your mercy. God, continue to just shape us and lead us. God, don't just shape the people in this room, but let this spread, that our leaders at all levels strive to follow you. God, change their hearts so they receive their mercy, they receive your grace, they receive the gift that you've already given, that they don't reject it. And then take it a step further and let them get to serve in whatever position you've given them. God, this morning, give us ears to hear that this isn't just a sermon, but it's a launch ramp. God, that thing that's on our heart that may have served as a red herring for so long becomes our mission. That thing we get to do. God, give us clarity that leads to courage. And continue to shape us and mold us, even as we pray that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.